Thank you, Ju, from UCSB as today's speaker. Probably Senkei doesn't need introduction. It's always good to learn new physics from Senkei. It's so broad. So today we will hear about quantum states of matter with fractal symmetries. Okay, Senkei, go.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank our organizers of this series of seminars, give me the chance to present our latest works in this seminar. So I will talk about fractal symmetries, including theory, models, and also a potential experimental platform. So let me first introduce my collaborators. Nayan is a graduate student in my group, and Stephen is a graduate student in David Weld's group, and David Weld actually is a Coldatom experimentalist in our department in Santa Barbara. So we collaborated on some proposal for realizing some of the physics I discussed in this talk in Rydberg atoms. And Wen Jie and Shang, they are postdocs in KITP and Santa Barbara. And Sagar is a new faculty member in our department. Sagar is one of the pioneers of fractal states of matter. So I will first give a review of the fractal symmetry. Actually, fractal symmetry is actually an example, and we can call it a type two example of what is called subsystem symmetry. And in this talk, I will also define fractal order. So fractal order in this talk is actually defined as a spontaneous symmetry breaking of the fractal symmetry. So here, the fractal order, I just mean spontaneous symmetry or breaking order is not topological. So it's different from what people call fractal order. So fractal order will have topological state, topological order, but here in my talk, fractal order only has a spontaneous breaking of the fractal symmetry. Then I will also discuss a series of models with some pretty generalized and peculiar symmetry called a Pascal triangle symmetry. So I think we all know what a Pascal triangle is, and actually in China, Pascal triangle is called a Yang-Hui triangle. So actually a lot of models have a fractal symmetries, and these symmetries can all be unified in the framework of a Pascal triangle or Yang-Hui triangle fractal symmetry. And then I will talk about, I will give a quick review of Rydberg atoms, and also I will discuss how to realize some of the physics, especially the fractal symmetry and the fractal order with the Rydberg atoms. And these are the two references I will mention in this talk. So first of all, fractal, this is the simplest example of fractal. It's a tree branches. It's a self-similar structure, which appear very common in nature. So for example, if I stand on point B, the tree will actually will split up into two parts. And if I stand at point C, it will split up even further. At point D, it will split up even further. So at all these points, actually, the structure is self-similar. So this kind of a structure actually has a very peculiar dimension. The dimension of this kind of structure is not integer. It has a fractional or even irrational dimension, the Hausdorff dimension. So in nature, whenever we see this kind of a branching structure, there is some fractal structure we can discuss, we can define, and there's a Hausdorff dimension we can define for this kind of structure. So there are some very well-known fractal in nature, for example, broccoli. But actually, there's a maybe less well-known example is this kind of a beefsteak. You can see that the fat distribution in the beefsteak actually follow this kind of a tree branches structure. So actually, you can define a fractal dimension for each beefsteak. In fact, if you Google, you can find research papers, serious research papers online, which make connection between the fractal dimension of a steak and the quality and the price of the steak. Okay. And also, another example of fractal in nature is a human lung. You can see the human lung has this kind of a nice fractal structure as well. And also, in the last 2 years, I found there are papers published about how COVID virus affects the fractal dimension of a human lung. But actually, in this talk, The fractal shape, which I will use a lot, is this. It's a Sierpinski triangle. Obviously, it's also self-similar fractal structure. And this fractal structure has a dimension log 3 over log 2. It's non-integer and also irrational. Okay, so this is a fractal shape, which I will talk about a lot in this talk. And this will emerge in the models, which I will talk about. And actually, you may wonder whether this kind of fractal also emerges in nature. Turns out that nature never disappoints us. Indeed, it does kind of emerge in some of the seashells. Okay, you can see that there's some part of a fractal structure emerging on the seashell. Okay, so how do we see the fractal, Sierpinski fractal kind of structure emerge in a condensed matter related or condensed matter motivated model? So this is a model, actually it's literally called a Sierpinski triangle model, defined on the triangular lattice. So this model was first constructed by Newman and Moore in 1999. And the goal back then was to study glassy dynamics of a statistical mechanics model. And later on, it was actually studied by Yoshida, focusing on the fractal symmetry. So this model actually is defined on a regular triangular lattice with full translation symmetry. The lattice itself has no fractal structure at all. And this model, just by looking at it, also does not seem to have any fractal structure, but actually you can see that a fractal structure will emerge. So for example, this term is a product of three Ising spin on the three corners of every down triangle of the triangular lattice. And we sum over all the down triangles of the triangular lattice. So then you can see that the obvious ground state of the Hamiltonian is that all spin have a sigma z equals to 1 everywhere on the entire lattice. So this is the obvious ground state of the Hamiltonian. However, you can also see that on every small triangle, we can also have a 2 sigma z equals to minus 1 and 1 sigma z equals to plus 1. This is also the ground state of a small triangle. It means that on every small down triangle, we can either have 3 spin up or 2 spin down and 1 spin up. So all these are ground state of the down triangle. So now you can see that, so suppose I create this kind of a big triangle kind of a excitation, and all the blue dots correspond to, all the blue dots correspond to spin down. You can see that this kind of excitation cost energy only at the three corners of the triangle, and everything, so every down triangle inside actually is the ground state of the unit triangle. It's very easy to see. And you can see, so for example, this triangle has 2 downspin and 1 upspin. And this triangle also have 2 downspin and 1 upspin. And then you can see that this is the Sierpinski triangle. And this kind of structure works whenever the side of the triangle has a size 2 to the power k. Yeah, so that means that the excitation of this model naturally has a Sierpinski triangle structure, and there's a very big degeneracy of the excited states of this model, and the only energy cost is at the corner of the Sierpinski triangle. Okay, so this is why the fractal structure emerges in this simple statistical mechanics model. So turns out that the fractal structure of the model also emerges in observable quantities. So for example, if I take this model and actually we just view this model as a classical Stemmeck model, and we calculate the three spin correlation function, we're gonna see that three spin correlation function will decay exponentially, but the exponential power is depends on the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle, which is log 3 over log 2. So P here is a number smaller than 1, and depending on the temperature, okay, depending on the temperature. So that means that this model at a finite temperature is fully disordered, and actually the correlation function will encode the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle, okay? So here I also need to point out that the dynamics of this model can be complicated by the fractal symmetry. But actually here, we just calculate the three-point correlation function, assuming the equilibrium is actually achieved, okay? Okay, But actually, to define a real fractal symmetry, we have to be very careful with the system size. So for example, a precise fractal symmetry can only be defined when the lattice size is L squared with L equals to 2 to the power k minus 1, okay, 2 to the power k minus 1, and also with the periodic boundary condition. So you can see that when the system size is L squared with L equals to 2 to the power k minus 1, then actually we can flip the spins on a fractal subset of the entire lattice according to a spin-sick triangle subset of the lattice, and then the entire Hamiltonian of the entire system will keep invariant, okay, will be invariant. So that means that the precise fractal symmetry can be defined for this model only with a specific lattice size, okay, only for a specific series of lattice size. And also we can discuss a quantum version of the Sierpinski triangle model. So here actually we can just add a transverse field to this Sierpinski triangle model, okay, add a transverse field. And in this model, we can just talk about the ground state instead of an excited state of the model. And actually later we're gonna show that by turning on this H, there could be a quantum phase transition between two orders. And one order is a spontaneous symmetry breaking of the fractal symmetry. The other state actually has no spontaneous symmetry breaking. So by tuning H, there can be order-disorder phase transition between a fractal order state with a spontaneous fractal symmetry breaking and a disordered state without any fractal symmetry breaking. And for this quantum model, we can also define a very precise fractal symmetry. So for example, we can make a product of sigma X on this blue site, okay, which is also a fractal subset of the triangular lattice. And we can show that this product commutes with the entire Hamiltonian, okay, commute with the entire Hamiltonian. So the product of sigma X on the blue site actually is a conserved quantity in the quantum mechanics sense. Okay, sorry, in the quantum mechanical sense. But this can only happen also with a lattice with a periodic boundary condition with size L squared and when L equals 2 to the power k minus 1, okay? So here in this model, the conserved quantity is defined on a subset of the lattice, and the subset of a lattice actually has a fractal dimension. So you can already see that the fractal symmetry actually is part of the subsystem symmetry, okay? Because the conserved quantity which commute with the Hamiltonian actually belongs to a subset of the entire lattice. So let me go back to discuss a little bit more simpler examples of subsystem symmetry. So for example, this is such a classic example of subsystem symmetry that every fractal talk we have to mention. It's a 2+1 dimensional Bose metal model, which was discussed by Paramicanti, Balance, and Fisher exactly 20 years ago. So this model is the ring exchange model for a compact boson on the lattice. So there's a standard Hubbard U term, and there's also a ring exchange term. So this ring exchange term will hop one boson from this side to this side, but simultaneously hop another boson from this side to this side. Okay, so it means that, So it means that a boson number will conserve on every row and every column on the entire lattice, okay? Because actually there's also, so if I annihilate a boson, I create a boson here, and also annihilate a boson here, create a boson here. So the boson number will be conserved on this line, and also on each column, okay? So this model has a one-dimensional subsystem symmetry because actually the boson number is conserved on the one-dimensional submanifold of the entire lattice. And because of this one-dimensional conservation law, this 2+1 dimensional boson model actually has a lot of similar features as the one-dimensional boson. We know that for one-dimensional hardcore boson, there's no superfluid, there's an algebraic phase. And here in this 2+1 dimensional Bose metal phase, there's also algebraic correlation function between the boson dipole correlation between boson dipole operator, but there's no spontaneous symmetry breaking of the U1 symmetry of the both of the bosons. Another model, which actually is a 2+1 dimensional model, but shares a lot of features as a 1+1 dimensional model, is the Ising Plaquette model, which looks like this. So this model actually looks quite like the Sierpinski triangle model. This model is also defined on the square lattice, but actually on the plaquette of the square lattice, we have a sigma z product of a sigma z defined on the four corners of the square. And then there's a transverse field. Okay, then there's a transverse field. So this model also has a subsystem symmetry. If I make a product of sigma x along every line and every column, and you can see that this product is going to commute with the entire Hamiltonian. So it means that this model also has a one-dimensional conserved quantity. So this model also has a one-dimensional one-dimensional subsystem symmetry. And because of this one-dimensional subsystem symmetry, this model actually shares a lot of features with a 1+1 dimensional Ising model. So for example, we know that a 1+1 dimensional quantum Ising model has a self-duality. It's a Cramer's duality. Which switch the K and H in the Hamiltonian. So this model also has a self-duality at zero temperature. So this sigma z, sigma z, sigma z, sigma z term will become a new operator defined in the center as the center of the plaquette. And then at this sigma x will become a product of four operators as the four plaquettes surrounding this site. Okay, surrounding this site. So it means that this model also has a self-duality. And also by tuning H over K, there's a quantum phase transition at H equals to K, and the quantum phase transition separates a ordered phase, which actually spontaneously breaks the subsystem symmetry, and also a disordered phase, which actually restore all the subsystem symmetry. Okay, the phase transition is precisely at H equals to K, because of the self-dual, because of the self-duality of this model. And also suppose I raise the temperature on this model, there's no classical phase transition at any finite temperature. There's no classical phase transition at any finite temperature. The thermal fluctuation will restore all the symmetries of this Ising plaquette model, okay? Okay, so in the last few years, there has been a lot of studies.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So are the critical exponents of this 2+1D model the same as 1+1D Ising transition?
No, turns out that this model actually is a first order. This model has a first order transition, unfortunately. This model has a first order transition. This was confirmed numerically. I think this model is just a first order. But later in the Sierpinski triangle model, the latest numerical suggests it could be a second order phase transition. So that is more interesting in terms of phase transition. So I will mention that later. Yeah, so in this model, it turns out it's a first order transition. Yeah. Okay, so in the last few years, as I just mentioned, there has been a lot of studies about fracton topological order. So fracton topological order is a topological order. I mean, very naively speaking, the fracton order is a topological order with a lot of subsystem symmetry. So there's a type one subsystem symmetry, which means that conserved charges are defined on the ordinary subset of the lattice, such as a line or a plane. So for example, this model and also the both metal phase, they have a type one subsystem symmetry because the conserved quantity are defined on a one-dimensional submanifold of the two-dimensional system. Okay, these models have a type one subsystem symmetry, but there's also a fracton state with a type two subsystem symmetry where the conserved quantities or conserved charges are defined on a fractal subset of the lattice, like the Haas code. Okay, and there are some very nice review of a fracton states written by these authors. So in this talk, actually, I will not touch topological order at all. So in this talk, I will just talk about the models with type two subsystem symmetries, which means that I will only talk about the models with fractal symmetries. The conserved quantities will just be defined on a fractal subset of the system, but these models will not have a topological order. The reason I only focus on fractal symmetry is that I think fractal symmetry actually is interesting on its own right, and actually we should understand fractal symmetry first before we talk about more exotic states with topological order. So as I already discussed, this simple model defined on the triangular lattice has a fractal symmetry emerge with a certain system size. So let's take a closer look at the quantum version of this Sierpinski triangle model. So this is the quantum Sierpinski triangle model. It was shown by these authors that this model is also self-dual. Actually, it is also self-dual, just like the 1+1 dimensional quantum Ising model, and also the 2+1 dimensional quantum Plaquette model, which I just discussed. The self-duality point is precisely at k equals to h. Okay, precisely at k equals to h. The self-dual transformation is very simple. So, for example, for every sigma x on the vertex of the triangular lattice, we can actually write sigma x as a product of new operators as the center of the down triangle. So this sigma x term will become a product of three operators at the center of the down triangles. Okay, and the product of sigma z on the down triangle will be redefined as a new operator at the center of the down triangle. And actually you can check all the commutation relation and you can see that they work out. Okay, so it means that this model is also self-dual, and under self-duality, the K term and the H term will just switch. Okay, will just exchange. So this self-duality actually means that implies that there is likely a quantum phase transition at H equals to K, just like the quantum Ising model and the 2+1 dimensional quantum Plaquette model, okay? And also this quantum phase transition will separate two phases. When K is greater than H, there's a spontaneous symmetry breaking of the fractal symmetry. And actually, if I pick a ground state of the model for K greater than H, the average value of sigma z will be non-zero in the ground state. But when H is greater than K, the spontaneous symmetry breaking of the fractal symmetry will disappear, all the symmetry will be restored, and the ground state become a non-degenerate. So it means that this H equals to K actually can be viewed as a fractal symmetry order disorder phase transition, with one phase which spontaneously breaks the symmetry, the other phase actually restores all the fractal symmetry. Okay, so here comes the most interesting question. Is this phase transition continuous or first order? This is a hard question to answer right now, because actually we know that as the ordinary quantum phase transition, we have a well-established RG procedure. We can actually write down a field theory, analyze the fixed point driven by some perturbation, and then actually we can analyze whether operators are relevant or irrelevant under the RG analysis. But for this fractal symmetry system, actually we don't have a well-established RG yet. So we have to rely on numerics. We have to rely on numerics as the first step of understanding this phase transition. So let me advertise two numerical works done by other authors. So the first paper actually indicates that this probably is a first order transition, but there's a more recent work suggests actually this is a continuous phase transition. And actually the latest work, I mean the more later reference actually not only suggests this is a continuous phase transition at H equals K, they also found that the correlation function as the quantum critical point has some scaling dimension, which actually is also determined by the fractal symmetry, also determined by the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle. So what they found was that if I calculate sigma x, sigma s correlation function right at the critical point, it decays as the power, and the power is given by log 3 over log 2. And as I mentioned before, the log 3 over log 2 is actually the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle. So of course, actually, this will have to be checked in the future over and over again by future numerics to see whether it's really a second order phase transition or not. But suppose it is a second order phase transition, then this poses a very good challenge and a very good question to theorists. How do we understand this? Okay, how do we understand this? Do we have a new RG analysis? But at least this scaling dimension seems to make some sense. Suppose actually we accept this emergent fractal structure and also fractal dimension in the system, and sigma x is part of energy density. And we know that energy density kind of have a fixed scaling dimension because it's part of a conserved current. It has a fixed scaling dimension as a CFT. So if we accept this is a kind of like a CFT defining a fractal dimension, then actually maybe the energy density should have a fractal dimension, fractal scaling dimension as a critical point. But so far, this is a very, very preliminary guess or preliminary observation, but all this needs some framework to be further developed. Okay. So I will move on. So if you have a question, you can ask. I mean, I may not be able to answer, but I'm happy to discuss.
So Senke, in this pneumatics, is there indication whether this critical point survives if you add say some subsystem symmetry breaking term? Small.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, yeah, I don't think they checked that. Sorry. Yeah, I don't think they checked that. Right. So I don't know. Yeah, but that's an excellent question. Yeah, this I don't know. I don't know yet. Yeah, anyway, so so basically
Hi, Chenke.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure whether I would agree with your interpretation about this sigma, the relation between sigma x and the energy moment tensor.
Yeah.
For example, just think about the typical Ising transition, right? Sigma x measures the scaling dimension of the C2 singlet, right? That's correspond to nu. It has nothing to do with the energy moment tensor. Sigma x has overlap with energy moment tensor, but it also has overlap with the C2 even singlet, right? That means if you measure its correlation function, you will get the.
Yeah, I know. The reality actually can be more subtle than what I just said. I'm just saying that suppose sigma x the leading contribution is the energy density. Then we may
be that cannot be true, right? Because it's a phase transition. That means it has a relevant singlet, right? And you get that you hit the transition by tuning sigma x. That means
but that relevant singlet we also don't know the scaling dimension of that relevant singlet.
It is irrelevant. Yeah, it should always be smaller than the scaling dimension of energy moment tensor, right?
Let's see.
Because it's relevant, right?
It is relevant, yeah.
And energy moment tensor is marginal.
I'm just trying to find some way to make sense of this of this numerical data, but maybe this interpretation is not correct, still. Yeah, I mean, we know very little about this phase transition. Yeah, maybe the interpretation is not correct, but we should discuss this later. Okay. Any other comment?
I mean, if this is true, then underlying CFT has to be a re-rational CFT.
I really can't make a more concrete comment about that.
Delta is an irrational number. So,
yeah, this scaling dimension is an irrational number, but I don't know whether we should say the CFT is really defined, is an irrational dimensional CFT. So far I'm just saying that based on this one single number, there's very limited number of guess we can make.
But if that's the case, then there'd be like infinite number of primary operators or something.
Yeah, that could be the case. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, there's so much we don't know about this phase transition yet. I mean, so I think the first order thing to do is to check numerically this model and see whether it's really a second order phase transition or not. Okay, anyway, so when we see this kind of a Z2 or just a Zn kind of model, maybe the first thing we can try to understand it is to embed it into a U1 model. This is like a standard procedure, or maybe the procedure we have some theoretical formulas to deal with. But after we try this, we realize that actually the U1 version of this model actually has something even more interesting. So for example, this is a U1 generalization of the Sierpinski triangle model. So still it's a sum over the down triangles of the entire triangular lattice or down triangle only. But actually it's a cosine theta 1 plus theta 2 plus theta 2, theta 3. So theta now takes the value from 0 to 2 pi. So now this model seems to be a U1 generalization of the Sierpinski triangle model. But then we realize that instead of having the Sierpinski triangle fractal symmetry, this model actually has a much larger set of a fractal symmetry. So this model actually has a Pascal triangle symmetry, which is generated like in the following. So for example, we take this model, we rotate this point by alpha, for example. Then we rotate this side by minus alpha, this side by minus alpha, this side by plus alpha, this side by plus 2 alpha, this side by plus alpha, and we keep going, going down for the entire triangle. And you can see that this model is going to be invariant in the interior of the entire triangle here. So for example, this down triangle will remain invariant, this down triangle will remain invariant, and this down triangle will also remain invariant because plus 2, plus 1, minus 3, okay? So you can see that this whole big triangle here is the Pascal triangle, okay? 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 3, 3, 1. If you ignore the sign, this is the Pascal triangle. And in China, it's actually called a Yanghui triangle, okay? Yanghui triangle written in a very ancient, book. Okay, so how does this Pascal triangle have anything to do with the Sierpinski triangle and other fractal symmetries? Turns out that if you take a Pascal triangle, you remove all the even numbers, it becomes a Sierpinski triangle. It becomes a Sierpinski triangle. And actually, if you take a Pascal triangle, you remove all the numbers, multiple of 3, it becomes another fractal. Okay, it becomes another fractal. If you remove all the multiple of a prime number p, you arrive at a ZP generalization of the Sierpinski triangle model, and all these Sierpinski triangle model actually have its own fractal symmetry, And this fractal will have a fractal dimension law, given by this more complex dimension. And if you take P equals to 2, this actually reduced to the Sierpinski triangle, dimension log 3 over log 2. Okay, so that means that for the ZP generalization of the Sierpinski triangle model, so each of them will have its own fractal symmetry, and all these fractal symmetry can be deduced from its U1 parent model. And turns out this U1 parent model will have all the fractal symmetry, has a very large collection of fractal symmetries, okay? So now we have our ZP or ZN generalization of the Sierpinski triangle model, and they all reduce from a U1 quantum Pascal triangle model, okay, U1 model. So we can take a closer look, okay? We can take a closer look at the U1 quantum Pascal triangle model and see what happens to the U1 version of the model. As we know that when we study like the ZN clock model, we can start with the U1 model and break the U1 down to smaller symmetries and see that what kind of physics of the U1 model can actually still be can still be inherited by the ZN version, okay? So when we write down this kind of U1 model, the first question we can ask is that when we turn on a U1 Hubbard term, okay, U Hubbard term here, so what's the phase diagram? What's the phase? So is there still a phase transition when we turn on U? Or actually there's no phase transition at all. Okay, so it means that, is there infinitesimal U going to disorder the entire going to disorder the entire model or not. Okay, so when analyzing this kind of model, there's a standard procedure we can follow. So we can assume, we can basically assume there's a semi-classical order, and then we can go to the dual picture. And the semi-classical order means that we can expand the cosine term at its minimum, and then actually we can go to the dual picture. And then in the dual picture, actually the compactness of the theta will become some kind of a topological defect in the spacetime. We can analyze the relevance or irrelevance of the topological defect in the in the spacetime, the dual model, and then we can see whether we can check whether semi-classical order is actually stable or not. Okay, this basically is a standard procedure. So but basically what we do is that we first expand the cosine as the minimum, then we go to the dual picture. It turns out that the Gaussian theory, after expansion of the cosine term, the Gaussian theory is also self-dual, okay, just like the Sierpinski triangle model. So the Gaussian theory is also self-dual. And turns out that by following the standard procedure, which actually is a bit technical, so actually will not follow through in this talk. But actually what we found is that a semi-classical order is actually indeed unstable against the weak quantum fluctuation U. So actually suppose we turn on a small U, we can see that the topological defect in the dual model actually will actually destroy the semi-classical minimum of the cosine term. So there's no phase transition in the U1 model. Okay, although there's no phase transition in this model, we also found that actually there could be a more fine-tuned multi-critical point. Okay, there can be a more fine-tuned multi-critical point, which just like the RK point of the quantum diamond model, okay, RK point of quantum diamond model. So that is a gapless point with a certain quantum fluctuation, but not as strong as the n squared term. It's a certain quantum fluctuation, but a weaker quantum fluctuation where the system will remain gapless, and there could be some phase transition there. So it means that RK point, a multi-critical point under fine-tuning, so that point is a gapless point with with certain quantum fluctuation and also a certain fractal symmetry. So this actually is a point where we can start exploring all the gapless theories or phase transitions with fractal symmetry. So this is something we are still exploring right now, it's in progress. Okay. Then the ultimate goal, which will not be achieved in this talk, which I hope to answer maybe in the future, is that what is the field theory or actually low energy effective theory with fractal symmetry? So for type one model, actually one can actually have some kind of field theory, or more properly we can call it a low energy effective theory, which captures the physics, the key physics of the system with the fractal symmetry. So for example, for the Parami-Kanti balanced Fisher model, which I mentioned before, this is the lattice model, but actually a lot of the physics can be captured by this Lagrangian, by theory built around this Lagrangian. So this Lagrangian actually already captures a lot of the subsystem symmetry. For example, phi, you can add phi with a function of x or function of y. Actually, this Lagrangian is invariant. So you can see that this Lagrangian actually captures a lot of the subsystem symmetry. So we actually, to analyze this model, we don't need all the microscopic degrees freedom. We can start with this. Lagrangian, and a lot of the physics can be captured. So now the question is that can we have a field theory or low energy effective theory which does not depend on the entire microscopic degree freedom of the system, but actually will only depend on low energy degree freedom, and we can still describe, we can still capture some of the key physics of the fractal subsystem symmetry. So actually the RK point I mentioned before could be the point to start with, but this is something we're still exploring right now. Okay, so this is the more theoretical part of the fractal story. I just reported the current status, but actually, as I said, we haven't answered the most important question, which I find most interesting yet. So actually the rest part of the talk will be about a experimental platform to realize some of the physics I just mentioned. And the platform will be the Rydberg atom, which has been proposed to realize many of the exotic physics in condensed matter recently. So before I move on, is there any further question about the more theoretical part of the talk so far? Yeah, okay, so I guess I can move on. So the read by atom actually is something which has been proposed a lot recently, which has been studied a lot recently. So read by atom actually has an ordinary atom, but with the most exterior electron excited to a quantum state with a very big principal quantum number, So the read by atom actually looks a lot like the hydrogen atom, which has like one electron in the exterior orbital and there's a core proton inside. So the hydrogen atom has a very simple energy level, 1/n². So the read by atom actually has the energy level, which is almost 1/n², but there's a shift. This shift comes from the fact that the core has a finite size. The core actually does not have a zero size anymore. And then the read by atom has a very strong dipole-dipole interaction, which is also van der Waals interaction. And actually this van der Waals potential interaction between the different atom scales as a 1/r⁶ over distance. So this comes from a second order perturbation of the dipole-dipole interaction, which is the 1/r⁴. And the coefficient C scales very strongly with the principal quantum number, scales like n⁻¹ⁱ. By the way, I'm moving a bit fast here because I know that read by atom has been introduced before in this series of seminars. So here I'm moving a little bit fast here. So if you want to know more about read by atom, you can look at this review paper, which has a lot of, which discussed a lot of key physics about read by atom. And it's the review paper, which actually I learned a lot about. So we can define a new quantum number n hat. And this n hat is not the same as the principal quantum number. This n hat just takes the value n equals 0 and n equals 1. And when n hat equals 0, it means the atom is at the ground state. And when n hat equals 1, it means the atom is on the readable state. And we can write down effective Hamiltonian. So this part of Hamiltonian represents the van der Waals interaction between the different read by atoms. And this term is a detuning, which acts like a chemical potential of the quantum number n hat. And then there's a Rabi oscillation term. We can actually use the laser, use a photon to oscillate the atom between the ground state and the Rydberg state. So there's a transfer field term. There's a transfer field like term in the Hamiltonian of the Rydberg atom. Okay, so based on this Hamiltonian, we can actually simulate a lot of exotic quantum states already. So one state which has been proposed and also realized experimentally is the Z2 topological order. So the proposal is that one can arrange these atoms on a Kalkoven lattice, and the strong van der Waals potential will impose a very strong repulsion between the neighboring atoms to guarantee that on every hexagon, there's only one state at the readable state. So it means that low energy Hilbert state of the model can be mapped precisely to the quantum dipole model on the triangular lattice. And then the transfer field term under perturbation, the transfer field term will generate a ring exchange term. Okay, will generate a ring exchange term. And this ring exchange term plus the constraint together can drive the system into a Z2 topological order, okay, into a Z2 topological order. So this is the earlier proposal. But I must point out that this key ring exchange term is obtained through perturbation. And here is a third order perturbation. So it means even higher order perturbation, it's a sixth order perturbation. So this perturbation will make this ring exchange term at a very low, at a rather low energy level, at a rather low energy level. So it means experimentally, it may be difficult to probe such a low energy level. Okay, so let me try to design a procedure of how to engineer the Sierpinski triangle model with the readable atom, which does not rely on any perturbation. So that means that the energy level can be higher, which makes the physics easier to probe in experiment. So we can see that by looking at the Sierpinski triangle model, you can see that the most difficult term to realize experimentally is the three-body interaction term. Okay, this term looks very tough to realize because it's a three-body interaction. But it comes to matter, or any physical system, they are dominated by two-body interaction. So how do we use that two-body interaction to simulate the three-body interaction, especially without doing any perturbation theory? Okay, so here's the trick that we can use. So instead of starting with a triangular lattice, we just start with a honeycomb lattice. The honeycomb lattice can be viewed as a decorated triangular lattice. So that means that actually we have the desired target atoms localized as the vertices of the triangular lattice, but we also trap some extra atoms as the center of every down triangle, which means that the vertices and the center of the down triangle together will form a honeycomb lattice. Okay, will form a honeycomb lattice. Then actually, so these atoms will have a near stable interaction between the target atom as the vertices of the triangle and the auxiliary atom as the center of the triangle, and also the repulsion between the target atoms like this. Okay, so actually with the van der Waals interaction, we can engineer an interaction like this. So this interaction actually is a square of the sum of the quantum number n hat we designed before. And this sum actually is includes the sum of the three target atoms at the corners of every down triangle, and also a auxiliary atom as the center of every down triangle. Okay, the sum of the three target atom at the corner, and also the and also auxiliary atom as the center of the down triangle. So what is the ground state of this kind of Hamiltonian? So it turns out that there are four different ground states of this Hamiltonian. So for example, to reach the ground state of the Hamiltonian, we need NA equals to one and N target atom equals to zero. Okay, or we can make NA equals zero and a two out of the three target atoms equals to one. Okay, we can either make NA equals one and NT equals zero everywhere, or we can make NA equals zero and NT equals one. Okay, two out of the three NTs equals to one. So all, so both of these choices will make the sum in the square equals to zero, okay, equals zero. So these configurations can be precisely mapped to the configurations of the Sierpinski triangle model. So for example, this configuration maps to the sigma z equals to one everywhere in the Sierpinski triangle model. And this configuration will map to two out of the three sigma z equals to minus one of every unit triangle. So it means that here, by enlarging the Hilbert space, we can actually use a two-body Hamiltonian to mimic, to simulate a three-body Hamiltonian, to simulate a three-body Hamiltonian. So it turns out that not only is there a one-to-one mapping between the ground states, actually there's a one-to-one mapping between the all the, sorry, there's a mapping from all the states of the Hilbert space of the Sierpinski triangle model to the low-energy Hilbert space of the readable atom Hamiltonian. So actually we can work out all the states here. So all the states of the Sierpinski triangle model can be mapped to low energy Hilbert space of the readable atom Hamiltonian. Okay, the readable atom Hamiltonian. So that means that all the physics of the Sierpinski triangle model can be simulated as a low energy subspace of the Hilbert space of the readable atoms. Okay, so this means actually we should be able to see some Sierpinski triangle fractal structure emerge in the readable atom, okay, in the readable atom Hamiltonian. So we have worked out some details with David Weld, which is the cold atom experimentalist in my department. So the calculation shows that suppose we choose the target atom, with the principal quantum number NB equals to 113 and the auxiliary atom as the 76. For the potassium atoms, actually we can realize this this Hamiltonian with actually a pretty high precision, with a pretty high precision. So it means that the extra interaction on top of the Hamiltonian will be rather small, okay, will be rather small. Yeah. So actually how do we probe? How do we probe the fractal symmetry and the fractal structure with the experimental platform? So actually what we can do is that we can slowly turning on, so we can start with the configuration with all the sigma z equals to minus one, and then we can turn on the chemical potential on the three atoms as the corners of the Sierpinski triangle. And suppose we turn on the chemical potential slow enough, we should be able to see some Sierpinski triangle fractal structure some fractal structure actually emerge in the experimental system. Okay, and actually our calculation shows that we should be able to construct the Sibinski triangle with a size as large as 16. So actually it's a fairly big Sibinski triangle with a clear fractal structure inside. And also we can measure the correlation function by taking the snapshots, by taking some snapshots of the sigma z in the entire system, and then by averaging over many experiments, we should be able to measure the three-body correlation function, which we discussed before. And the three-body correlation function, actually at the finite temperature, will depend on the fractal, dimension of the Sibinski triangle. Okay, so actually it means that by measuring the correlation function, we can probe the fractal structure of the system. And also by turning on the Rabi oscillation, of the Rydberg atom, we can also potentially drive a quantum phase transition, which we discussed before, in the quantum Sibinski triangle model, where the fractal dimension may actually emerge in the correlation function. Okay. So basically, some comment, as I said before, so far, we have not relied on any perturbation theory to generate any multi-spin interaction. The multi-spin interaction is just simulated with the two-body interaction in the system, by enlarging the Hilbert space of the system. However, there's a question which I just asked before. So we don't know yet whether the extra perturbation on the system, which actually exists in the system, whether the perturbation is relevant or irrelevant as the quantum phase transition. The reason is that actually we don't have a RG analysis yet. So we know that for the Zn anisotropy of the U1 Wilson-Fisher fixed point, we know that Zn anisotropy is gonna be irrelevant when n is greater than 3. But actually here, we don't know whether the extra perturbation is gonna be relevant or not as the quantum phase transition, of the quantum Sibinski triangle model. So this is something that actually we need to do either numerics, or we can check it in the experimental platform in the system we just designed. Okay, so actually the similar trick can actually be generalized in other multi-spin interaction model as well. So for example, actually there's a three-dimensional Sibinski triangle model. We just define a similar system on a stacked triangular lattice. So on every tetrahedron, we define we sum over every tetrahedron. Actually, it's a sum over the product of sigma z on every corner of the tetrahedron. Okay, we can sum over this. And this model also has a Sibinski triangle kind of a fractal structure emerging in a three-dimensional lattice. And actually this model can also be simulated, can also be realized potentially in the Rydberg atom platform. We can again decorate the center of every tetrahedron with a with extra atom, with extra site. And then this model can also be simulated with a Rydberg atom with only two-body interaction. The same kind of a trick will go through. Okay, we can trap the target atom at the vertices of the tetrahedron and also trap a auxiliary atom at the center of the tetrahedron. So the entire lattice will become a diamond lattice. Okay. Okay, so we also have some quasi-realization of the U1 quantum Pascal triangle model, which I mentioned before. Okay, this trick is that we start with the honeycomb lattice. We start with the honeycomb lattice with a spin 1/2 trapped on the vertices of the triangular lattice, and we trap a spin 3/2 at the center of the down triangle. Okay, then actually we start with a standard nearest neighbor interacting model for the entire lattice with an on-site anisotropy of the spin 3/2. Okay, so we have a nearest neighbor XY exchange between the spin 1/2 and spin 3/2, and also there's on-site anisotropy of the spin 3/2 site. And then actually because of this strong D term, it's very strong D term, so this term will favor every spin 3/2 only have SD equals 3/2 and SD equals -3/2. And then at the low energy, the perturbation will generate this term. Okay, it means that we annihilate the three spin one half side and also create a spin three half side as a center. So this model will look like this eventually if we take the rotor representation of the spin operator, it will look like this. And then suppose the spin three half side will form an order, then this low energy process will actually look like a U1 Pascal triangle model that we discussed before. Okay, so this realization indeed will need certain perturbation theory, but actually this is the best we can do so far. But indeed, actually this process will generate a U1 quantum Pascal triangle model. Assuming the spin three half side will form certain order. Okay, so this summary. So basically, we discussed a quantum fractal model. The simplest model is the quantum Sierpinski triangle model, which mostly has been studied numerically. And then we discussed a series of model with a generalized Pascal triangle model, and we discussed a series of models actually with a different kinds of fractal symmetry, which can all be generated from the U1 parent model. It can all be generated from a U1 parent model. And we also discussed how to realize the quantum Sierpinski triangle model, which involves a three-body interaction, but the realization only involves a readable atom with only two-body interaction. Hopefully, we can do this experiment in the future. So let me also acknowledge the funding agencies, including my funding agencies for my group, and also funding agencies for my colleague David Weld group. Okay, that's the end of my talk. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Tenko, for the interesting talk. Are there questions from the audience?
Maybe I can ask. Hi, Chinke.
Yeah. Hi, Sylvia.
So for the Pascal triangle model, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't miss the punchline at some point. Possibly. So you can realize that with the Rydberg model, and then what is the main prediction for the experiments? What kind of phase you're going to see?
For example, as I say, you can measure the spin three-body correlation function, which at the fine temperature can be calculated. It decays with the exponent, which actually depend on the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle. And also, I think you can also try to probe the quantum phase transition, the nature of the quantum phase transition. For example, you can check how the three-spin correlation evolve over the quantum phase transition.
What is the quantum phase anyway? It's something like the Parmenkanti-Fisher type phase.
Well, I mean, no, it's a quantum phase transition. As I discussed as the first part of the talk, the quantum phase transition is a phase between it's transition between a phase which spontaneously breaks the fractal symmetry, and a phase actually does not spontaneously break the fractal symmetry. It means that it's a phase with some ground state degeneracy and a phase without any ground state degeneracy.
Oh, okay. But both phases are gapped.
Yeah, both phases are gapped in the Sierpinski triangle model.
Okay.
So one actually has a long range order, the other does not.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
So I have a question about the U1 model. So you said arbitrarily small non-zero U destroy the symmetry broken state.
Yeah.
Now, if you say apply some local field to pin the direction of the spin in some subset of the site, right? So probably it's not enough to do it for major zeros, some finite number of them, but if you do it for some extensive but still much smaller than volume of the system, you may be able to stabilized state with a broken symmetry. So
you want to pin theta, is that right? You want to pin theta?
Yeah,
I think I think that's right. You know, you can, you know, if you explicitly, you know, pin it to certain pattern like this, certainly that's doable. I mean, that certainly is going to stabilize. Yeah.
So suppose there are linear size L, and if you pin the angle of theta, some L to the alpha number.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, yeah, right. That's actually, okay. So you are saying that although if I turn on U term, actually it's going to disorder the whole thing.
Yeah.
But you are saying, suppose we just turn on theta, not in the entire system, but a subset of system, actually it may still prefer the order. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I haven't thought that way.
And characterizing that exponent may be a way to kind of understand this kind of system as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I haven't thought that way. Yeah. Right.
Okay, are there further questions? Okay, I think there are a lot to think about, and it's a very interesting subject. Let's thank Senke for the nice talk.